Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, with your host, Adam Emmert.
Is he half, like, cowboy, half Japanese? Nope. Like, who is this guy?
And Jared Tim.
Could you imagine John Elway riding Thunder? I love Thunder.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, your Seahawks 40, Broncos 10 podcast.
Oh.
Coming at you today from a scorching Missoula, Montana.
An early shot, huh? I thought you were going to be mild.
Early shot. Getting it right in there. I am your co-host, Adam Emmert. The man across the table from me here is the man who's cheered a fourth quarter preseason field goal like the John Elway helicopter ride. Jared Tim.
I'm still happy about that. I think I may have been the only Broncos fan left cheering at that point.
But you were.
But I was cheering.
You brought a large cheer to that fourth quarter preseason field goal.
We are fresh off of our trip from Seattle. And I want to give a special thanks to Risha, Erica, and Shelby for making Seattle feel like home for a couple of days.
Big time. They were fantastic hostesses.
Yes, they were.
Showed us a great time. Honestly, there is no way I could have had a better time in Seattle.
I think we did everything that we possibly could have. And safe to say we represented Montana. We really brought the noise over there. I didn't realize that we were as loud and obnoxious and rowdy until we went over to Seattle. And we're hanging out. And, you know, these coffee shops or bars or restaurants or something. We're definitely a little different in Montana.
Yeah, and that's good different or bad different. Hard telling, not knowing.
I enjoyed it.
I don't give a fuck anymore. That's because once I turned 30, I had less fucks to give.
We brought the heat this weekend, though.
We sure did.
Even four in the morning agrees.
Yeah, five in the morning our time. That's how long we lasted. That was good stuff.
It was a good time. We had a lot of fun in Seattle.
We drank a lot of beer. And speaking of beer,
yes,
the beer that we're reviewing today, folks, is Pike Street Brewing Company's Kilt Lifter Ruby Ale.
Did you say Pike Street?
Yeah.
I think it's just Pike.
It says Pike Street on their website.
Damn it.
But I could be wrong. Fuck them. I don't know.
We were there. We sampled a lot of beers.
Yeah. We went to the brewery. Good stuff. Good. We'll get into more of that at the beer review in the middle of the podcast. So yeah. Stay tuned for that. We'll talk a little more about the Seattle trip as well. Like how we learned that there is an antagonist for a rock opera out there named Grunkus the Funk Beast.
The Funk Beast.
So yeah, stay tuned for Grunkus the Funk Beast. So folks, we went to the game. We were at the Clink.
Uh-huh.
To watch this preseason battle between the two top NFL teams.
Dude, I would, you know, aside from being a Super Bowl preview, I think every three out of four seats were filled and it was fucking loud.
It was. It was really fucking loud. But the thing is, every three out of four seats were probably filled, but there was a shit ton of Broncos fans there.
We were well represented in the entire city. When we were in the city walking around, there were Broncos jerseys everywhere.
Everywhere. I was very impressed, Broncos fans. Well done to represent your team. Even if it's just for a preseason game.
Yeah, they were showing up in big numbers. I'll actually put up a picture that goes to show that. I got a picture of Von Miller, and in the background, you can see on the lower part of the stand.
Yeah, the visitor sideline.
A lot of orange.
So that was pretty great. So I was going to talk a little bit about a couple of my overall impressions of the game before we kind of start getting into our breakdown. Number one, it just wasn't your guys' day. It just was one of those days where everything went wrong. In fact, it went wrong so much to the fact that when we were done with the game and walk and get a slice of pizza, you tried to high-five a fellow Broncos fan, and he didn't even trust me.
He didn't even trust me.
No, he thought you were going to mock him. So, yeah, it was just you couldn't even complete a high-five with a fellow fan.
Yeah.
A mile high-five, couldn't get it done.
One of the things that I kind of see about this game is it's not – you know, when we played the Niners, that was one of those games where you could look at the numbers – and it showed you exactly what happened in the game just based on the numbers.
Right.
This was a game where our offense had the ball so much longer than Seattle's offense, yet we were down in score. We had so many turnovers. So it's not one of those games where you can look at the numbers and see what had actually happened. You're right, man. Shit just didn't go our way. We were fumbling the ball. You know, we decline a holding penalty just because John Fox wanted to put us in an awkward position.
That's my guess.
It's preseason.
Yeah.
It's preseason.
Yeah, so... it was an interesting game, you know, from that standpoint, just because it was so choppy and full of penalties.
Yep.
That's something that, my fucking God, if we do not have these penalties under control by the time the regular season starts, I'm going to pull my goddamn hair out.
It's the most frustrating thing ever.
If I see another Giacomini personal foul at the end of a goddamn play, I swear to God, I'm going to find somebody to take him out.
You lose it over that, I'll lose it over our illegal formation penalty.
Oh, man.
We ended up with 9 penalties for 63 yards. And you guys ended up with 12 for 107, which would have been 13 for 117 if we wouldn't have declined that penalty. But
right.
One of those things. And, I mean, again, it was a preseason game, so there were a couple times where we could have challenged, a couple of times where you guys could have challenged plays, but you just don't. You know, you move along.
Yeah.
But As long as there was a lot of frustrating shit that had happened, I think on both sides, especially the penalties. Yeah, but there were some good things that happened too.
There were some good things. In fact, I thought both offenses looked sharp. First team offenses, whether that, especially the Broncos first team offense. You guys moved the ball up and down the field.
We did.
You know, the score was not indicative of the efficiency in which you guys moved the ball. Peyton Manning, he did Peyton Manning things out there. He dropped a couple dimes that I'm really glad to see that I saw live in person.
Yeah, it was just from a fan's perspective, even if Peyton wasn't playing for the Broncos, it was really cool to get to see him just do his thing.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who plays football in a very unique style intellectually. You don't see a lot of guys that play the way Peyton did or have ever played the way Peyton did. It's just cool to see it live.
Definitely. It was a lot of fun.
Russell made some good throws too.
He did miss a few. And even Coach Carroll said that in his post game conference. Yeah, Russell missed a couple, but
better to overthrow than have a quarterback that's underthrowing balls.
Look,
I think.
Contrary to popular belief, he is a human being. So he's gonna miss one.
Yeah, he's just got to learn to control that cannon.
Yeah, and
that's it.
I think part of that is just a lack of chemistry with Luke Wilson too.
Yeah, because it seemed like a couple of those were on. He was on the tail end of those.
Yeah,
and one of them you could tell he was just trying to get him to go in a certain area. He didn't, and he just ended up throwing the ball away, which is just a good decision.
Yeah,
but I saw a lot of good things on both sides.
Yeah,
and we did move the ball. We fumbled the ball twice in your guys' zone, once on the goal line.
Right.
The turnovers were a big factor. We were +4 against the Niners. Now we were -4 against you guys. And
yeah.
I think John Fox said you can win 10% of your games when you turn the ball over like that, but against a good team, you're not gonna you won't it's 0%.
Exactly,
and that's absolutely right. You can't turn the ball over against the. I know it's preseason, but if this was a regular season game, we turned the ball over 4 times. Yeah, we may beat a lowly Raiders team right now, but you're not gonna beat a quality football team.
Sure, if this was a regular season game, it wouldn't have been 40-10. It would have been like 35-28 at the end.
Yeah,
of the
at
score.
The end of the fourth quarter, going either way, going into the end. Of
yeah,
the game. Yeah,
yeah. No matter.
Yeah, we were talking about earlier when it was 17-7 at one point.
Yeah.
We were driving down the field.
Should have been like 10-7.
Should have been 10-7.
Yeah.
We would have drove. Then you guys would have gotten the ball back. And so it would have been a close game if this was a regular season. All the weird shit didn't happen. So I think these two teams are actually fairly well matched.
Oh,
as far as being a Super Bowl preview, which we firmly believe will be.
it absolutely will. I have no doubt in my mind that this is going to be the Super Bowl. And one thing that became readily apparent is that if this does happen, or when it happens to be the Super Bowl, we are going to watch that game in separate households.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be good.
We're going to post a picture of three of us. There were three of us sitting in the stands together, and then two of the other people, friends that came with us,
we had
two
people.
Other seats.
Yeah.
Risha, our friend, we properly made her sit in between us.
Well, number one, you can't have two dudes together.
No.
Like it has to be dude, chick, dude. Like it can't be dude, dude, chick, or
no,
chick,
you
dude,
gotta
dude.
You got to split up the sausage.
You got his sausages. Yeah, you can't have that. So, but it was good too for our friendship that we did that.
It was a good early test.
Yeah. I mean, it got a little testy there at times. I think
even in a preseason game, and Risha was like, oh, you guys, am I going to have to separate you two? We're like, we put you here for a reason. We know who we are.
Yeah.
We know what we do here.
Yeah, I mean, and we knew where the line was.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, and I will say this, I felt like I was pretty good through the game. I didn't take many shots.
I even remember saying this to you at 3 a.m. when I was like, man, you really controlled yourself. You did a really good job. I don't know if I would have shown that much reserve, I suppose.
No, you wouldn't have, because you're an awful winner. You're the worst winner I've ever met in my life. You're a gracious loser, but you're a dick when you win.
I am. I would say that if there was a preseason game and the outcome was favorable for our friendship,
yeah,
this is the way it should have gone.
Yeah, definitely.
So, good.
Yeah, it was good. It worked out in the end. So let's kind of get into some of the details of the game. We watched that first offensive series by the Broncos, and that was that 3-and-out.
Yeah.
It was 3 pass plays. I just thought we just had good coverage on that.
Yeah, I like the completion we had to Welker. I also, you guys had great coverage because we also had good protection. So that was good defense, good offense, 3-and-out.
Yep. Hawks get the ball back. We scored on that first drive, even though, we had, a few penalties and all that. But, the one thing that, I thought was interesting is Golden Tate catches that longer pass. And I think that was on that first possession. Maybe
it was
on the second. But
it was.
Catches that long pass down the right sideline.
Oh, no, it was on, I think, your guys' second drive.
Okay, then on the second drive. And you look at me and you go, Are we going to have the talk about Champ Bailey?
I think it's almost time.
You think it's time for
the talk? Yeah, I mean, just to say a couple of things about it. You know, these guys, when they get to be this age, everybody knows how good Champ Bailey's always been. He's a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, without a doubt. But you saw it dating back to the Ravens game last year. You saw it in our first preseason game against the Niners. And you saw it right away against Golden Tate right now. He was a step behind against a guy who's just not a speedster.
He's not a burner, Golden Tate.
He can still tackle. He's not going to miss tackles. But I think in coverage, Champ Bailey has lost a step. I mean, it's just safe to say at this point.
Well, Father Time never loses.
It doesn't.
And that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But
another reason I'm kind of concerned about what Champ Bailey does later on in his career with the Broncos is at this point...
You're kind of set at safety.
Yeah, with Duke and Raheem Moore back at safety, Champ doesn't give you an upgrade at safety over these two guys. I firmly believe that. Raheem Moore is awesome, and Duke's been playing out of his mind, so...
I would be inclined to agree with that. Yeah.
I don't think he upgrades us at safety because our safeties are set right now.
Is he going to have a Johnny Unitas in a Rams uniform here or Joe Montana in a couple KC years? Or
I don't know because I don't think he takes a demotion either at a cornerback position, to kind of move into a player coach kind of role.
I would say that has a lot to depend on how much he enjoys playing in Denver.
Yeah.
And how important it is for him to finish his career there.
It's going to be interesting to see, but I know a lot of other Broncos fans that have watched this game and they watched the playoffs last year have seen that Champ Bailey is a step behind now. I think it's finally happened.
Yeah.
We're lucky it didn't happen 3 or 4 years ago.
So would you rather see a Chris Harris start over top of him? Or, I mean, do you have somebody else kind of in mind? Or are you just thinking, well, you got to roll with it this year?
I think you just roll with it this year. We'll see how the first 4 weeks kind of measure out and see what's going on. At this point, I like Champ Bailey being on the field because of his leadership and all that stuff. So I prefer him to be on the field and keep Chris Harris in the slot.
Sure.
But if it does become an issue, which I'm hoping it doesn't, I love Champ Bailey. If it becomes an issue, then yeah, it's going to be time, I think, to consider a couple of other options.
Gotcha. So yeah, no, that shocked me to hear you say that.
The conversation is going to have to come up about Champ Bailey.
Oh, I know.
I think it's this season.
Yeah, okay. It just
playoffs last year we talked about it a little bit, and I think this year you're going to have to. It's so obvious. I know there's a lot of people. Oh no, Champ Bailey. You can't do that anymore. Being a realistic fan, it's time to talk about it.
Kind of like when we were looking at Trufant last year.
Yeah.
And you had that sense that he just doesn't have it anymore. As much as you love the guy, as productive as he has been in that uniform and, all that.
And I love him and for his leadership, especially, but for how he brings it every single game day.
Yeah.
I don't know where you even put him as top corners in the NFL anymore. I don't think he's a top 10 on his physical attributes anymore. But, this season will tell.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely. So what else stood out to you, kind of that first team offense for the Broncos?
In our first drives, as far as the Broncos go, I just thought we had good protection. Our defense, however, I thought you guys ran play action really well, which you always do. And I still think we over-pursued a little bit, but that's a lot of just you guys running it to perfection with a guy like Russell Wilson. I don't think there's a lot you can really do about it. You can't play a play action against the Seahawks perfectly. I thought we over-pursued a little bit. What did I see about the Seahawks?
Well,
we gave up a little bit of the run on that first drive up the middle, too. We weren't completely solid. I mean, then we obviously tightened down. You could see you guys didn't get anything up the middle. But after that first drive, neither did we.
Yeah. That first team, your first team offense against our first team defense, a couple of things that stood out to me about our defense was we did not get a lick of pressure on the quarterback. You guys protected him very well.
Yeah, I think other than that one hit.
Yep. He had that was on a blitzer, Bobby Wagner coming up the middle, and he gave him a shot.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He planted him pretty well.
Yep. And, so there was that part of it that kind of stood out to me, but also Jordan Hill was getting double-teamed a lot when he was in the game, which I found interesting.
Yep.
I think that speaks a lot to his production so far in the preseason, the type of respect that he's starting to get, just even from opposing coaches in the preseason with just that limited amount of game tape.
Right.
Pete Carroll had said after the last game in his press conference that they were even a little surprised as to how well he played on first and second down, let alone on third.
Is where you're going to be running the ball more.
Which
was the game more.
That's where people had concerns about him coming out of college was how he was against the run. So,
I was pretty happy about the way our offense played against your defense, especially with the protection.
Yeah.
Because if you have a guy like Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas, if you have a guy who can run a 10 to 15 yard out, if you have the protection to do that, we saw Peyton Manning do it all last year and again against the Seahawks where he'll throw a ball up in the air about 2 feet where only Demaryius Thomas can go up and get it. And as good as Richard Sherman is, arguably the best corner in the NFL, you can't defend that with a guy who is 6'3", almost 240 pounds.
With today's NFL, a great receiver and a quarterback will beat great defense every single day.
Especially on man-to-man coverage.
That's just it.
When Sherman, you can usually put him on man-to-man coverage, but if Peyton's got a couple of seconds to make that 12 to 15-yard out, and Demaryius can just sit there and box him out.
Just muscle up.
I mean, we talked about before, he catches the ball at full extent of his arms.
Right.
You know, you cannot get a hand up there. Whereas, you know, a guy like Decker catches it more into his chest. Demaryius Thomas, you cannot get the ball away from him because he catches it so far out from his body. The way he catches the ball actually reminds me of Tony Gonzalez a little bit. Way out there. You're just not going to defend that. So.
You're not going to defend that. I thought Thomas played a good game, as in Demaryius Thomas. Also, Julius Thomas did too. That was actually something, you know, we talked about on the last podcast. I was like, you know, if you guys are going to pick on us, I would see Julius Thomas possibly having a big game against our linebackers in coverage. And sure enough.
And he was open.
And that's exactly
what happened. He was open. Yeah, he had four catches for 70 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that one catch could have been a fumble, so maybe it would have been like three catches for 50 yards or whatever. Who knows?
It's hard to say.
Really matter. Yeah, you're not going to challenge it. You know,
yeah, between that and the Hillman fumble on the goal line, that's one too that while you were there in the stadium, I looked at you and I said, I think that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
That looked like it broke the plane to me. I mean, we were on the opposite end, but I mean, still.
It still looked okay.
It was bang, bang. That could go either way.
And I said earlier, I kind of like the fact that they kept it a fumble. Because, you know, we put on a long drive. I saw everything I needed to see in that drive. We were very effective on offense.
Yeah.
But that being a lost fumble, even in the stat book in preseason, makes him think about it a little bit more. Because he actually fumbled twice on that drive. You know, they didn't call the first one a fumble. But as you look back on the replay, he clearly fumbled the ball twice on that one drive. So
he did. Yeah. That first one was a legit fumble.
It was a legitimate fumble.
That didn't get called.
Yeah.
So maybe that's poetic justice in some way. But, you know, one thing that stood out to me, too, you know, your first team offense against our first team defense was that we did play the run pretty well. You didn't gouge us real hard in the run. I didn't feel like it was, you know, getting jellied, you know, right down the middle.
And that was an area of concern for you that you talked about last week.
It was, you know, and you're going to give up pass yards to one of the three greatest quarterbacks who's ever laced them up.
Yeah.
You're just going to. I mean, that's just part of it. I thought the defense played really well overall, as well as you could expect. Denver Broncos are going to score points on everybody. I don't care how good your defense is.
And as much as I'd love to sit here and say, well, yeah, we had a couple of fluke fumbles and stuff like this, there is a big part of that the defense is, you know, don't forget that it's also considered a takeaway. You know, the defense has to be there to create that kind of stuff. And that one on Julius Thomas, whether it's a complete pass or an incomplete pass or fumble, whatever, that was incredible defense to get a hand on the ball right when he caught it.
And that was Browner. Was in defense. You know, everybody's thinking about the Browner returning the fumble recovery earlier in the game, and that was fine. I mean, that was great play.
Sure,
good job. You ran fast. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
You ran fast. Pick it up.
But what impressed me more about Browner's game, because he had a whale of a game, that first series that you guys had on offense, I think the third down pass was to Decker. Should have been complete. Like, Decker had it in his hands, and Browner reached in with old man strength and just ripped it out of there.
Yeah, and I think Earl Thomas even came in and kind of gave him a hit to his midsection to kind of jar that ball loose. So that was really – your guys' secondary, I mean – there is advertised.
Yeah, and then he also had that strip on Julius Thomas. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought Browner played a good game, and that makes some sense because it looked like he was up on Decker the majority of the time.
He was, but don't forget about that one that he was on Demaryius Thomas coming across the field.
Oh, that's
I think
right.
It was about an 8 to 10 yard just kind of post pattern. I don't even know if it's a post. He just kind of took off right to the middle of the field. And as quickly as Demaryius Thomas can get from one side of the field to the next, Brandon Browner was right there to knock the ball away.
Yeah, he ran that crossing route, you know, just kind of straight across formation, 8 to 10 yards out there, and Browner was with him step for step. So
I think he impressed me more than any of your secondary this game.
He played better than Sherman in that game, but Sherman played bad.
What can Sherman do when you're getting boxed out on 12-yard outs?
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit of pressure on our offense would have served your defense even better.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, going forward, I think you guys are going to get a lot more pressure on some other teams who maybe are a little bit younger, maybe a little less chemistry. I don't think pressure is going to be a problem. I think you guys are going to create a lot of turnovers this season.
Well, that's the idea. And, you know, with Michael Bennett, he flashed a little bit in this game to me, you know, kind of getting after the quarterback a little bit. Benson Mayowa, you know, had another sack. That's nice. I don't know.
That's nice.
It's just hard to tell, you know, what a guy's going to be. But one thing that Pete Carroll did say is that in this game, he's just looking for
same guys to impress again the second game that impressed the first game, to see some consistency.
Consistency is the main part of trying to win a job.
Yeah, and we did see that with Mayoa with the sack. Loda Lely made a couple nice tackles. Loda Harley? Loda Harley, yeah. he made a couple nice tackles. Derek Coleman played solidly again.
He had one drop pass. Sorry, he's a rookie. Yeah. He was going to run before he got it.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as far as your first team offense, our first team defense, that were kind of my observations on that.
Yeah. One thing I know that we're missing big time, and, Julius Thomas's blocking has gotten way better from what they were talking about from the beginning of the training camp, from the game against the 49ers where he missed a couple blocks.
Yeah.
His blocking has gotten a lot better. I don't think he's going to be a liability one bit. One thing I do know is that Joel Dreesen is one of the better blocking tight ends I've seen on the Denver Broncos team. We miss him big time not being in there.
Yeah, I could see that a lot, and this game, as far as you guys having, blocking out of your tight ends, I don't know that you really saw that stick out one way or another just because of the flow of the game.
And we didn't run the ball too much. And when we did, it was mainly up the middle. There was a couple times where we got some pushes up the middle, but there were some couple times where you guys maybe should have had us in the backfield. Hillman made a nice run to get out of one.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that was – it was pretty even as far as our run games went.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. As far as the Hawks' first team offense compared to the Broncos' first team defense, kind of speaking of that.
You about said donkeys.
No, I didn't. No, I was actually thinking something completely different. Yeah. I was trying not to
say. Really? You got two thoughts going on at the same time?
Just two? Yeah. I would love for just two at any given time. That'd be great. So our first team offense, your guys' first team defense, some of the observations I saw there was Russell looked relatively sharp for the game. He did miss a couple throws.
But there were a couple throws that were out on the money.
Yeah. Oh, and he threw a couple dimes. I have no real worries about that. Turbin ran the ball real well. He had two runs that he could have gotten a lot more out of, kind of got arm tackled. One was just a really good tackle by Irvin.
Yeah.
So that was impressive on his part to bring Turbin down with just a quick arm tackle when it looked like he had the edge. So I like to see that. We didn't see Kristen Michael at all. I think maybe he was sat out because of a sore something or other.
Yeah, some sort of training camp injury.
Who knows? But that gave us a chance to look at him.
Yep.
Luke Wilson, the tight end, he had some separation on the one overthrow. It would have been called back by a penalty anyhow.
Right.
But with that said, there's nothing about this guy that flashes to me.
And you guys could be having some chemistry problems, but you also got to remember he is a rookie. Yeah. And this is preseason game two.
True. Sean McGrath, I thought he outplayed
him.
No, I'm not saying cut him.
No, I know what you mean, though.
Some guys you look at and you're like, this guy has potential. And other guys you look at and you go, I just don't know that this guy can play.
Yeah, and if he is going to stick with the team and you guys are really serious on him, it's going to be a work in progress.
Right.
To where it would be better if you had a guy now. So, at this point, are you guys just going to wait and try and pick up a guy who was cut from somebody else's 53-man roster to try and bring in? Because this chemistry does not seem to be working with
him. If there's somebody out there at the end of the cuts down to the 53-man rosters that is compelling, I'm sure we'll take a look at him. Mm-hmm. But we also have Zach Miller coming off the pup list. Yep. So that's good. He was he just came out this week. So look to him to play here sooner rather than later.
Luke Wilson just doesn't seem to have that open field awareness. When Russell was pointing at him to go hit an open part of the field, which would have brought up a single coverage with Duke.
Yeah.
Which that's an advantage to a tight end because he's got at least 6 or 7 inches height on him.
Yeah, and Duke was, he's playing over the top, trying to keep two guys in front of him. So there was some extra space there, too. If Luke just settles into that opening in that cover two just a little better with, the other receiver in front of him coming back to the ball on a scramble play, that's an easy completion. But
I think he would have gotten to Luke Wilson on that ball, but even then, you're still giving your tight end who can go up and jump a chance at it.
Yeah.
And you can hang a guy out to dry on those opportunities because it could be two guys going up. It's a jump ball at that point.
Yeah.
You like a tight end in that matchup on
you
any
should.
Team. So just his situational awareness, I think, after a play has started. You guys are very much an improvisational team once Russell starts going out of the pocket, and I don't think he has that ability.
It just does. The game doesn't look like it comes naturally to him.
It doesn't. He's got to be coached in almost every part of the game, it seems like.
So maybe that's the point I'm trying to make with him, is that it just doesn't look like the game comes naturally to him. Maybe that's what it is I'm seeing. Okay. But so, yeah, a little unimpressive. Obviously, Jermaine Kearse had a great game, both receiving and particularly in kickoff return. Apparently, that's his first return since high school.
So, yeah, that was blocked. Our special teams was freaking putrid.
Yeah, and you know, he actually made the starting kicker miss. Not making the backup kicker mix with Walter Thurman. But yeah, so I really like Curse's game. He's obviously stepping it up. There is some rapport there with Russell. That was hilarious on the touchdown pass. Russell fumbles it, picks it up, somehow still manages to touchdown. Find him. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I prefer that you get those center exchanges clean. Like, if we could do that, that'd be great. Because I don't know that you execute on that every time for life.
Probably not.
So, Curse really stood out to me. That first freaking drive, 3 out of our 5 offensive linemen had a goddamn penalty, whether it's holding or pre-snap penalty or fucking personal fouls. Get it the fuck together.
Yeah, penalties are pretty bad.
Yeah, that's
on both sides. It's just, you know, we'll hope we clean it up because we were hardly penalized in our first game, too.
I can't.
Didn't have any turnovers in this game. Was just the complete opposite of what we did week one.
Yeah, I can't handle the penalties. It's just fucking holding penalties
are
the worst.
Those are drive killers.
Drive killers. And, you know, still, you know, pre-snap penalties, too, are tough. The other part of the kicking game that impressed me was Golden Tate with his punt return. That was a nice, nifty little punt return. Made about 4 or 5 guys missed.
It was good.
Yeah. You know, just doing Golden Tate things, which I enjoy. Those are the things that kind of stuck out to me as far as our offense. That 4th-and-1 play that we had, a lot of people are complaining about that towards the end of the second half.
Fuck it, it's a preseason game. You're just going to see what you can run in that situation. You already know what you can run.
And we ran a draw on 4th-and-1.
Well, it's just like us declining a holding penalty.
Yeah.
You know, John Fox declined it just to put us in a shitty situation.
Yeah, it was a horrible play call. Unless it was supposed to be read option, then frickin' Russell screwed it up because the defensive end totally crashed down.
Yeah, you don't want to be running read option in preseason and just having your guy out there naked against
defenders.
I wouldn't
think so. Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, you know, it's overall, I thought the first team offense played well. It made me feel a lot better than the Chargers game. I think we're going to be just fine. I think this team played well, you know, overall. Some things that stood out to me about your first team defense was, you know, you guys had good coverage.
Yeah, we had really good coverage. I mean, I think our play action coverage was much improved over the 49ers game.
Yeah.
Heading into this game. We didn't give much up the middle, especially after that first drive.
Yeah.
One thing I saw was, you know, we don't run zone very much on defense. And we talked about this before, is you can get away with not running zone when you have the talent to run man coverage.
Right.
And I think both of our teams can run man coverage and do it very effectively. And I think we'll both do that. But, you know, like the big pass plays we gave up, you know, one of them was a 25-yarder, and we were in a zone coverage.
Sure.
Just didn't even stand a chance.
Yeah.
And so I don't see us really running zone very much just because we have the talent to run man.
Right.
So I'm pretty happy about that. I think our outside pursuit against the run was just second to none this game.
The linebackers really flowed well on the edges. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a couple plays ago, especially Marshawn's second run that he had where he tried to bounce it outside and every gap was covered all the way to the damn sideline.
Yeah,
that was
our whole defense just shifted over and kept Marshawn basically at the center of our attention.
Yeah.
And so there was nowhere to go. So
nowhere to
I think
go.
Our pursuit was great. You know, other than that, I just think we were much improved from last week.
Yeah, we talked a little about champ. I thought Chris Harris kind of had a rough game.
It wasn't his best showing for sure.
Yeah.
The thing I like about stopping the run and being able to just kind of bottle that up with your front 7 or, you know, your front 6 if you're running a nickel, was that, you know, we saw that play in the end zone where Duke actually had to run around a ref to get back to the tight end in coverage, and he still got to the ball. It just went right through his hands, but it was impressive to me that he had to dodge the ref just to get back to the guy and still made the play.
Yeah.
So if you can stuff the run, it allows your safeties to roam free and really play a better coverage. So it's really promising in what our defense is going to be able to do.
Yeah, that last touchdown pass by Russell, that was one of those, no, yes!
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah, so.
And I think if Duke hadn't gone, you know, I don't even know if he would have thrown that if Duke hadn't gone around the ref, because he would have been right on him at that point.
That or just, you know, that's one of those things where you get a feel for somebody's playmaking ability after you've played him a couple times. I think maybe, you know, Duke being new to the league, that's one of those guys that, you know, you're like, oh, who is this guy? Well, I'll see if he has any makeup speed.
He definitely has.
Man's got some makeup
speed. Man, he's impressive in almost every way. He didn't have to do as much against the run because our front 7 was just, they were brutal, you know. They're Grunkus the Funk Mass Beasts.
Yeah,
that's what they were. They were just bottling everything up. We were moving fast. I thought our safeties played really well. Chris Harris, Champ Bailey, they didn't have the best games out there. You know, Champ got beat on one. Chris Harris got beat on that touchdown. He was obviously pissed about. But I think we played so much better, especially with our play action coverage. You know, there are a couple times where we made Russell Wilson just throw the ball away.
Yeah.
And so I think we were much improved from last week. And I don't think we're going to give up a lot of points this year. I think we're polished on defense. Our tackles are big.
They're tough. Huge. It's tough getting a push on those guys. You know, the success that we did have up the middle running, it seemed like those were on those kind of quick-hitting trap plays a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that's about the only way that you can occasionally get success against those guys.
Yeah,
you know?
And that was pretty much only in the first drive, but we gave up a little on the run on the first drive against the Niners, and then after that, we just completely stopped it.
Yeah.
We just stuffed it. Yeah. So no, we definitely... our ability to react as far as what the offense has given us was pretty good. I was pretty pleased with the way our defense played.
Yeah.
And all those points, you know, I know we gave up 40 points, but they were not defensive points. You got to remember, you know, there was the return, there was the fumble return, you know, there was the Julius Thomas fumble. There was just a whole lot of shit. So it's not like our defense just gave up the house.
Not really.
So
not at all.
I was pleased. I'm pleased with even the way our entire team played as a whole, really.
Yeah, on offense, we had a short field a lot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that puts the defense in a tough position. One thing that I was a little disappointed out of our defense on was when you guys would run bunch formations, you'd have like three guys off to one side, you know, a little cluster formation. We struggle with that. And I don't, and maybe that's an NFL thing where everybody kind of struggles with it. But for whatever reason, I mean, I don't know why it's so difficult to pick up who you're going to cover out of a bunch formation. Like, how is there no communication
there?
Because
you can't really run a man out of a bunch formation because you got a minimum of two crossing routes coming out of it right away. So you're going to have to go around your guy just to get to where your guy is, and that's going to open up a shallow cross right away, so that's going to be immediately open. When you look at a bunch formation, it's so hard to cover with a man because you don't know which way everybody is going. And one of the bunch formations that we ran, Julius Thomas was actually in a three-point stance on the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And we had Wes Welker and Eric Decker. Mm-hmm. And another one of our bunch formations was Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, and Wes Welker. I don't think that's a lack of your defense. I think that's having two Thomases and a Welker out there. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, that's good.
Good luck, dude. You're not going to defend that.
That's good personnel, no doubt. You know, I just get a guy. Just get a hat on a hat somehow. You know, I don't know.
Well, that sounds nice.
Well, I just don't think. I mean, I understand there's crossing routes.
You can't play zone on it either.
Like, no, you don't play zone. You play man. You say, that's my guy, and you make it happen. It's just like in basketball. Like, if you're the point guard, they're running pick and roll on you all day. You got to fight through the pick. Like, you just got to get through the pick. There's no excuse. You get through the pick. That's playing good defense. And it's the same thing on this, too. Pick the guy. Stay on him. Be sticky. That's all I want.
It is a little different, though, because especially if you have a guy lining out on the defense who's your outside guy in that bunch coverage, if you're running a man, you have three guys sitting there. The guy on the outside says, okay, I got the guy coming to my outside. We'll just make it that. The guy in the middle say, well, I'll get the guy if he's running a seam. The problem is when you have Wes Welker doing this kind of stuff, he'll come outside and then go in, which leaves two guys covering three guys if you have one up the seam and another guy running a post pattern. So that leaves a third guy out who's already a step behind Wes Welker. Bunch formations create mismatch. Man, if you want to communicate as much as you can, that's fine. But the routes that these guys are running out of the bunch formation, they are impossible to cover.
Well, then maybe you get up right on the line of scrimmage and you jam the shit out of them.
Like, also sounds great.
I'm just saying they got to try something different. Like,
I don't think it's a lack of trying things in the NFL to try to, you know, to try and bottle up this bunch formation. They've been trying to do it for years, man.
Yeah.
It's a tough formation to cover.
You know,
and you can't sit there and bump Demaryius Thomas. He's too big.
There's only one formation you've seen that's tougher to guard, and that's when we were playing Madden a few years ago and I invented the cube.
But I figured it out.
Yeah. Eventually. Yeah. But you figured out that in Madden, they give defensive linemen the speed of, you know, friggin' Chris Johnson.
That and I fucking suck at video games anyway, so there was just no hope for me.
No. But anyways.
But yeah, the bunch formation, I don't think it has anything to do with your defense. I think it has everything to do with that formation and the routes that they run out of it.
Right.
And, you know, when you have the offensive talent that we do, no matter what kind of secondary you guys think you have, the bunch formation is damn near impossible to guard. There's so many different things that you can do out of it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Well, those are kind of some of my first half observations.
That was a lot of what I had. I mean, I like Wes Welker diving headfirst into three Seahawks. Dude's got balls. You can never question him for that.
You saw him do it
with the Patriots for so many years. Same thing here. Another thing I saw with our running backs was Lance Ball and Ronnie Hillman, I thought, showed a lot more patience this game. and following blocks and waiting for things to open up. And that's kind of our run scheme. It's always been the Broncos run scheme, except for when McDaniels came in and we had this trap stuff when you got to hit it a little quicker. The patience on our running game, I think, has gotten a lot better. We were just going against a really good defense, so not a lot of runs would break open. But if we're going against a lesser defense, I could see our runs breaking out a little bit more. The patience was just there for me. So I thought that was pretty good. And, you know, other than that, I think I saw what I wanted to see from this preseason game, for sure.
Right. That's more or less what I saw out of the first half. I think at this point here, maybe we'll do a little beer review action, talk about the trip a little.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back, maybe just kind of wrap up our thoughts about the second half, because there's lesser there. But
there was lesser there. Yeah. You know, but there were things that were seen.
A few things.
So maybe we'll haze up the pad a little bit and come back to you.
It sounds perfect. All right, man. Stay tuned, folks. Grab yourself a beer. Beer review's coming next.
Yeah.
All right, we're back, folks, here with your beer review for episode 10, by the way.
Double digits, man.
Yeah, I never thought we'd make it to that. But so our beer review, we're drinking the Pike Street Brewing's Kilt Lifter Ruby Ale, 6.5%. It's kind of a Scotch ale.
Fitting to do a Seattle beer.
Yeah, I only had a sip or two of this. You had it with your...
I had the sampler. Tried all the beers.
Yeah.
Which I tried.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were all pretty good, but I think the Kilt Lifter kind of stood out to me because I love Scotch ales big time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a different variety. It's almost, same species, different animal. I don't know. It's just...
Right, yeah.
It was interesting, though. I mean, it's 6.5%. But it was a lot more mild. The flavor was more like a dark amber rather than, like a coffee Scotch ale type of beer.
Yeah,
it wasn't
I would
that
agree
dark
with that.
Brown.
Yeah, not as intense. It's not as intense as Kettle House's Cold Smoke, which we'd reviewed before.
Nope.
Which I like because that's actually a little too intense for me. This was actually right up my alley for a Scotch ale. I really enjoyed it. It was smooth. It was tasty. It was rich, but not overpowering.
Yeah, I like a lot of it because it gives you a different variety of a Scotch ale. You know, there's not just one way to do a Scotch ale. There's numerous ways. You can make it dark with coffee. You can make it a little more light and easier to the taste.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed the beer.
Yeah. It
got
it
me really, a swift buzz at 1:00 p.m.
Yeah, on our first drunk of the day. That was pretty fun because the goal was to drink enough alcohol to be slightly inebriated while you go to the game, so you're not buying $18 beers.
Yeah, don't worry, we didn't drink from 1 till 4 a.m. 5 our time. We took a 3-hour break during the game.
Yeah, a cheer break.
Yeah,
where we went and cheered on our team. So so Pike Street, the brewing company's there, their actual brewery, their tasting room is very cool.
It
is a lot
cool.
of old wood. Just old mugs and shit hanging everywhere.
Ran into some pretty cool Bronco fans from Eugene, Oregon there.
You did.
Yeah.
You did. I noticed that. Like, I don't know.
I migrated towards that side of the bar. Like, you guys went that way. I was like, no, man, I see jerseys over here.
Oh, yeah. No, I had elbowed Fred in Jersey Fred, who's our buddy.
One of our good friends, yeah.
And as you walk up, I was like, oh, Jared's going with his people.
I did migrate towards it. You know, we were getting the world's best mac and cheese, and we had Bronco fans
Beechers.
Right behind us. Beechers. Oh, so good. We have Bronco fans right behind us. Well, this kid was going to a preseason game. He was pumped. What jerseys do you have? I'm telling him the jerseys and shit.
Yeah.
It's freaking hilarious.
Wearing a little Von Miller jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But back to the beer.
Yeah.
You know, Pike's Brewing Company, Pike Street, was really good. You know, they do have that old wood like you talked about. It was a good atmosphere. It was pretty laid back.
Yeah.
We didn't get any of the food there, but I'm sure it was nice.
Yeah. I'm sure the food's good there.
But the beers are quality.
Yeah, the beer is quality. And that's something that I definitely got out of Seattle. They definitely have some quality brews.
Anywhere in the Northwest, I think we're going to go and get some good beers. But that's one thing that we didn't really have to do was take a demotion in the quality of beer that we drink when we go over there.
Yeah,
that was nice.
Just a demotion in the quality of attire for fellas. Like, there was legitimately one couple you pointed out to me that you couldn't tell who the dude and the chick was.
No,
because he's wearing those fucking skinny jeans. And
I pop out a chest hair every time I see a skinny jean just... For his
just
manhood,
kind of like one for the homies.
Yeah, yeah. I came back with a full on sweater, man.
Oh man, yeah, I'll tell you what. I have a theory about the skinny jeans. It's a lot like when you castrate a pig and you tie the rubber band around their balls until they just turn blue and fall off. I think when you put on skinny jeans, it suffocates your balls so much that they turn blue and just fall off. And then you wear the skinny jeans just so you feel the cuppage still with your balls gone.
So these guys that are wearing the skinny jeans, they're on like day 4 or 5 of the same pair of jeans.
Oh yeah, yeah. Their balls have completely fallen off by that point. They're still a little confused, so they have a hard time, knowing what they should do and how to act. But that's why they're so meek.
Didn't see any at the stadium though.
No skinny jeans at the stadium. That's a good point. But the one thing we did see at the stadium that I want to talk a little about the trip and the beer segment. So I hope that's fine with you.
Absolutely. I think we should do this.
So the one we had a theory there, or really it was more your theory that that you came up with here regarding chicks and wearing the nice lady fitted
The jerseys.
Jerseys.
Chicks and jerseys. This is money. It contours the body in just a perfect way, and it's a football jersey.
Yeah.
Ladies, keep wearing them. Wear them a lot.
Wear them often. I think what we decided on when we found that
the rating
one to
scale.
Yeah, on the 1 to 10 scale that everybody uses, it's the standard scale for hot women. If you are, say, a 7, and you put on a nice fitting, say, Marshawn Lynch jersey or Brock Osweiler jersey or something along those lines, you just bumped up 2 hotness points.
I saw an 8, a solid 8. She was a very good-looking woman in a Von Miller jersey, and I about proposed to her.
I know.
She was a 10, maybe even a little higher in my books at that point.
I was just glad you didn't have a ring with you. So it's huge. So ladies, please,
wear the jerseys. And you know, Scott, I'm still looking for something that I can wear that may take my points up a bit. So if you've got any suggestions, I would love to make myself seem more appealing.
No, that's a good thing you bring up, because the one thing I asked you is, like, is there something similar that a guy can do to simply boost his good-lookingness?
I gave you a quick no.
By 2 points. And there was a no. Like, there's nothing you can do like that.
No,
so,
sorry, we are what we are rated. That's all we're going to be.
Yeah.
But the jerseys, just wear them. Wear them often. Yeah. Wear them all the time.
Yeah, I will buy you precisely one more drink if you wear those. Like, easily. That gets you a free drink every time you're out. So
God, they look good.
That was one theory there. You know, Seattle itself, the hospitality and everything that we received there,
it was good.
Was fantastic.
You know, when you go there, baristas, servers, just people that you meet, there's a lot of cool people there, you know, and it was a good atmosphere.
Yeah, we ended up having a little porch party with Erica and Shelby and that whole crew, and their neighbors kind of trickled over.
Random people just keep stopping by.
You know, we learned that there's going to be a new rock opera coming out.
A metal opera.
A metal opera written by a fellow named Bennett.
Oh, that's his name.
Yeah, he's got he's got some spunk to him, for sure.
He was one of the most passionate people I have ever met, as far as what he wanted. Like, genuinely passionate.
Yeah.
He wasn't just shooting the stuff out. He was talking about this metal opera that he was writing.
Yeah.
And I was so into it. I was into this story. It's like maybe 3 in the morning at this point, because it was after the bar.
Yeah.
And I was so into this, and the guy was just awesome.
Well, it involves a horse wizard, which I think is going to be fantastic. And the antagonist has the best name in the world, Grunkus the Funk Master.
Funk Beast.
Oh, the Funk Beast.
Grunkus the Funk Beast.
Yes.
And he's even got his own beat. The guy had beats for all of these characters. Yeah. It was amazing. Sorry, this probably doesn't sound as cool, but it was awesome.
No, I just needed to throw out Grunkus the Funk Beast. Like, everybody needed to hear that. So just
the
shout
hospitality
out to
was great. The weather was outstanding, man.
Oh, man.
Like,
it was
low
so
to mid-70s with sun.
Yeah.
The nighttime was nice.
Yeah.
I don't think we could have made that trip any better.
No, I mean, I think even Jersey Fred had a good time, you know, being an East Coaster in a West Coast town, like, that doesn't always fit, but, you know, he had a shredding the whole way with some good hard rock, you know.
Jersey Fred's pretty Montanan at this point, though. He's pretty Montanan.
He splits the difference.
I think he liked it.
His East Coast shows down then, so. So
absolutely.
So one thing we're going to do here at some point, folks, is we're going to start having a Jersey Fred segment.
Once in a while, he goes off on these just rips, and it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
We're gonna get some of these on record, so we'll play them for you.
So yeah, so Jersey Fred coming your way here soon. Well, I think that's everything about the trip that I kind of want to go over, and the beer. So with that said, guys.
And I also want to apologize, Joe, during this segment. We are like road legged and hungover, so but we're doing our best, I think.
Look, I mean, I would say that the game I'm bringing on this pod is even better than after the 2-day boat float where we drank.
That was pretty
constantly.
Bad. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, so I'm proud of us at this point. Yeah, complete sentences and everything. So
I'm proud of our whole performance this weekend. I think people from Seattle appreciate a little raucousness, noise.
We were definitely a little raucous. But
I mean, at the stadium, we didn't outdo anybody, that's for sure. But just in our meandering journey around town, I think some of the baristas or servers might have appreciated it a little more. It's a little different. I think we're a little different.
That is something everybody can agree on, Jared, for sure. All right, folks, we're going to come back with just a few of our second half observations and wrap up.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Okay, folks, we're back here. Going to talk a little bit about the second half.
Second half segment.
Yeah, you know, and obviously the second half's not quite as riveting as the first, but, you know, there's still some guys that you're watching for.
Yeah.
See if they can still perform at a high level, you know, 2 weeks in a row.
A lot of guys make the roster on these second half preseason games.
So, yeah, a lot of guys earn their living that way. Now, on the Seahawks side of things, one guy that stood out, obviously, is Tavares Jackson.
Man, yeah, he made us some great throws, didn't he?
Great
second
throws.
Week in a row. I know it's just preseason, but man, he's got some touch on the ball.
And him and Steven Williams have some magic, yo. Another touchdown completion there.
Did you say him and Steven Williams have magic, yo?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I added the yo, but I like it the second time.
Yeah, I thought I heard that. I was just like,
yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah, they got straight magic, yo. But they play well together, it seems like. Tavares, to me, obviously, clear cut. He's going to be the number two.
Oh, yeah, we talked about him last time. Solid back.
But is there a QB battle brewing between Tavares Jackson and Russell Wilson? I mean, Tavares finished with 141.2 QB rating, and Russell finished with 141.1. That is 1/10 of a QB rating point less than Tavares Jackson. He's clearly the inferior quarterback.
Is this like Tavussel Wiljack?
Tavussel Wiljack, yeah. No, I obviously there's no QB battle.
But yeah, it's nice having a solid backup.
Yeah, so I feel good there.
Yeah, I was actually wanting to talk about my backup too. Same thing is one of those things that's kind of stood out. I mean, I think we're both pretty gifted with backups, but I probably just interrupted you. Continue.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, because I want to hear a little more about Brock, because you know, as much as he had some issues, I think that were beyond his control, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, well, he was under pressure a lot. You know, he took some hits. But when I looked at the game, I was like, man, he didn't have any time. He was flushed. He had to throw early. But he still completed 9 of his 14 passes, which was good. He only threw for 66 yards, which is a 4.7 average. What this tells me is that he didn't even have time to look downfield. And when you see the game again, you know that he didn't have time. So I would really like to see him get in with the first team to see what he can actually do with some time to think, go through his progressions, you know, check through his reads, just see what's going to happen. I want to see him play with the first team. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get that. Right when Peyton comes out, most of the first team's out of there.
That's true. And one of the things that stood out to me was when you see the difference between these two teams right now, I think they match pretty evenly across the board in every single position group.
To where in the end of the fourth quarter, it'd be 31-31.
Right. And I think the one place where you saw a drop-off, a difference between the two teams, was in number two offensive line.
That's exactly where it is.
And I think that's just a function of injuries for the Broncos.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a lack of talent. You just got guys that aren't playing.
Yeah, but it kind of shows you how fragile it can be up there.
It does feel one injury away.
We are one injury away, and you can really see it. I mean, just like you said, that is the one area that it's very apparent who is superior. And that's offensive line depth big time.
I think
just because of our injuries.
Yeah, you know? That's health related, like I said.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one thing that definitely popped off to me. T-Jack, Steven Williams, I don't know. There wasn't a lot. It was a pretty low-key second half.
They tried to get through it quick, too. The clock kept running. You know, I think the most obvious thing was, you know, a couple of Tavares Jackson passes that were right on the money.
Yeah.
And that he can come in and command a team.
Yeah.
Not bad option.
Yeah, you guys bunched out the shit out of us in the last quarter. But I don't know. There wasn't a lot to take away from the second half.
No, it wasn't too exciting in the second half. I mean, our team did exactly what we did against the Niners in the second half. There wasn't a lot of points scored. The time went by quick. Our offensive line depth really was exposed completely, but that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It was the same story as the 49ers. You know, I thought Brock did as well as he could with what he was given. I guess the difference was C.J. Anderson's out for 6 weeks. You know, he sprained his MCL.
Yeah, that's a bummer. And you guys actually had a few injuries in this. We didn't talk about the Derek Wolfe injury at all.
Oh, yeah, no, we didn't. Derek Wolfe's going to be fine. That was kind of a scary one. You know,
it was very scary.
When that play happened, nothing was going on right after the play. But then you look down, and there's a Broncos player just motionless. And I saw a 9 on there, and I was like, well, a 9 white guy, that's Derek Wolfe. And so the trainers come out, and about a minute and a half go by, and he's still not moving. And one of the trainers grabbed his ankle, grabbed his thigh, and positioned his leg out flat on the ground for him. And right then I was just like, oh, fuck, you know. And then the face mask comes out, then the cart comes out, then the ambulance comes out. But good news is MRIs, x-rays, CT scans, all negative. He was back on the charter flight, which was great. And he said he'd be back on the field soon. It's just big time precautions on that tough moment.
Yeah.
It was, you know.
It makes you worry. You never want to see that, obviously.
For any player.
No, for any player. So, you know, I'm really glad to hear that, you know, he's out walking around, flies back with the team and all that.
Yep.
You know, I definitely heard some rumblings that that was supposedly a dirty play by Michael Robinson.
Yeah, I heard that too.
But, I mean, honestly, to me it looked like Wilson cuts him. He's still lunging towards the ball carrier. Mm-hmm. If you're the fullback, you put a hat on him. And I don't...
The whole play was legal.
Yeah, and not only that, he didn't come down on him hard either. Like, you know, I mean, it just...
It wasn't a really big impact either.
He almost went more over his head than anything.
Yeah, and it just kind of tweaked it back in an awkward way. So I know that I've seen people respond to that in a pretty negative way. Oh, it was a dirty play, but it wasn't.
No.
Just look at it. There was nothing dirty about the play.
No, the way Red Bryant threw Ronnie Hillman down earlier in the game
was dirty.
Way after play. That was way dirty.
And it wasn't even dirty.
And it, really.
It
was
just some
chippiness. A little dirty.
Pushing
little
happens.
Dirty. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the Derek Wolfe thing, not a dirty play. He'll be healthy. Done.
Yeah. So Champ hurt his ankle as well?
Yeah, foot ankle thing. I guess he just had some discomfort.
Oh,
so he's
okay.
done.
Yeah.
See, Luis Vasquez, discomfort in his knee, just left the game.
Okay.
You know, Wes Welker, after that, after his last play, he jogs off the field.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Little ankle sprain, I guess.
Sure.
But he was jogging normally.
A little preseasonitis.
Yeah. I think Peyton's done. I'm done.
Yeah.
One of those things.
Don't really need any of that work.
And that was pretty much it. I guess just a couple of other updates. Ryan Clady's supposed to play this next week.
Oh, good.
In the game.
Okay.
So, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, he's coming right along. He'll be ready for week one.
Nice.
If not this next game also.
Nice.
So we're looking to get healthier. Chris Cooper's still coming back. Things are looking up in injury land.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so
you know,
aside from the updated ones after the last game, you know, we were pretty good.
Yeah. Just Zach Miller coming back off the PUP list and, you know, PUP, physically unable to perform list,
mm-hmm.
coming back from that. That's positive for
Talk
us.
Talk about what that'll do for you guys to play.
It'll be huge.
Too.
You know, as far as the offense too, just having Marshawn in there for a game rather than like two plays, I think will make a big difference on
yeah.
offense too.
What do you have, two carries for a yard or something like that?
Yeah. So there's that. Well, one guy I forgot to mention that did stand out that I felt played a good game was Allen Bradford, the backup middle linebacker.
Yeah, he has been playing well. He's a thumper.
Yeah, he is. Apparently, you know, Ken Norton Jr., our linebackers coach, he says, you know, without question, the guy that brings the wood the hardest out of the linebacking core is Allen Bradford, the converted running back. So that's kind of interesting. We'll see him kind of progress.
He's just been pounding it in training camp.
Just jellying people. So, yeah, that was pretty much what I had to say about the second half. We left, about midway through the fourth quarter because we had more drinking to do.
Yeah, we were ready for it. And the game was just moving so slow. You know, the play clock, it was going down almost every single play. We were ready to get our drink back on.
Yeah.
And see what we needed to see.
I didn't want
to
see Brady Quinn. And I'm not sad that I missed a Brock Osweiler interception in the end zone. Like,
yeah.
That's
okay to not see that.
Yeah. So we started on our second drunk at that point of the day.
And then continued to the wee hours of the morning.
And continued on to the wee hours of the morning, which turned out to be an awesome time. So.
Yeah.
Well, Jared.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. You know, whether it's John Elway or John Schneider, in John's
we trust.